Remember, Brenda, I have two bottles of water. I guess I need to tell that story real quick. A relative of a church of mine was graduating down in Alabama, and Chuck and Damon and me was going down to do the service, but Damon and Chuck didn't know that they were going to be part of it. And so I immediately told them, I said, okay, you guys are going to do the service. And they gave me the shock of, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm so positive I'm hearing God speak is that now from this moment on, I don't want you to say anything to either one of you or me because I don't want to know what you're going to talk about. And when we got down there, it was in the newspaper that three men from up in Ohio were coming down to do the service. Don't mess with God. Oh, yeah. I didn't know exactly how to start this since that prayer and everything went out. But the good news is, it's always good news. There's never bad news when you're dealing with God. The title of what I'm going to say is, Who Do You Trust? You know, sometimes we don't want to answer that question. Well, it's easy to answer it when you're around the one that you do trust. But I want to tell you a couple things before I get into what I'm going to talk to you about. First of all, 2 weeks ago, Brother Jim spoke, and he tried to encourage you. You know, sometimes we get up here, it's not about us, but it is about you. I won't go any further than that. Anyway, but it's about you, and he encouraged us to trust the Lord. And he encouraged us, the big word I got out of it was today. He meant that moment. So actually the Lord is telling you to trust him today again, right now. Not after the meal, not going to the meal, but right now, right where you're at. Right where your ears are attached to your head that your natural body can hear, but I ask that he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit would say. Because, see, these ears are only attached to this life. But if we have ears to hear what the Spirit says, we're attached to life for everlasting. We have everlasting life, and that's the one he wants us to be in contact with. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. This first one is out of Romans, the 8th chapter. The very first verse, and before I read that, I have to tell you this. I don't know, Pat might be hearing this for the first time, but when our brother Dink was alive, he was living with me toward the end, and when he was living with me, I could see that he was feeling condemned. And it wasn't condemned from himself as much as it was from the people that he went to church with. You know, I guess they rated him as a backslider. You know, someone that didn't live up to their standards. Now, I'm talking to a bunch of people in here today that have felt that in their own lives. Don't live up to somebody else's standards. Let's read Romans, the 8th chapter, the very first verse. It says, therefore, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified because I love it that much more. There is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. You know, that's been quoted a lot. I've heard Rich quote that a lot. Well, anyway, I gave that to Dink because the Lord told me to give it to him. He said, give that to your brother, because I knew his time was short, and I know what the Word of God does. It sets us free. So as he gave me that word to give to him, every day I'd walk in there and I'd say that word to him. Anybody believe I said it in condemnation? That's good, good. But I said it in love. I believe I said it in obedience. Well, anyway, after 2 weeks, I walked up to his room and he was smiling. I said, "What are you smiling about?" He stood up and he quoted that scripture back to me. He raised his hands and he said, "I'm free." That's what the Word of God's supposed to do to us. It's supposed to set us free. Well, I've said all that to say this. Pat, I knew where you and Kenny were 50 years ago. Because 50 years ago, you took me to youth camp. 50 years ago, I thought a lot of me. I was cocky. I was an athlete. Some things don't change. Anyway. And I had been going steady with a girl for 7 years. But when my sister told me they had a new basketball court, that got my attention. But then when she told me they had about 18 girls that were in their youth group that were teenagers, I said, "When's camp?" How many knows that God knows exactly where you live? Your house isn't strange to God. And just so you want to know it, it's not protected from him either. It's not. It's not covered by him either. Because God wants this house. This is just a building. He wants this house. You know, we could all come in here, all these seats could be filled, and if nobody in here was his house, this house would be empty. You guys, truth. It'd be empty. I believe God works all things well. So the first girl I meet at camp is named Debbie Holden. First girl I'm introduced to is Debbie Holden. And she's cute, but I fell in love with her laugh. I still love that laugh. So mom raised me right. I didn't cheat on my girlfriend, but I fell in love with another girl. I accepted the Lord on a Thursday night. I received the Holy Ghost that night as I accepted him. I couldn't hear anyone talking to me out here because it was like his hands were over my ears. But by God, I was listening to him. I heard him. He was talking about a tree that I had always taken for granted that was now planted by him, and I was seeing that he planted it. And I started to cry because I was looking at a tree that God had planted. And he goes like this, "You are now my tree." So do you know what that means? He now is that life that I have in me, not waiting one day to have it, but now have it. And I've had it every day for 50 years. Now, do you know that a lot of times God will talk to you? And I got this morning. I thought it was funny. And a lot of us will say, "Not now, God. I don't have time now." Now, we might not out of our mouth say that. But in our attitude, we do. We'll take something that means nothing to God and make it a value to ourselves and put God on the sideline. And then we'll want to know, "Well, how come God's not answering your prayer?" You got to be kidding. You always give the kid that is really raised up to be mean, disobedient, no mercy in his life because he don't give any. You always take care of that kid. You know what we take care of? I'm talking about the body of Christ. You know what we take care of? The ones that cry the most. We're just like society. Society, my son's laying over there in the nursing home. If I say something to him about something complaining, he'll look like light at me and start whining. And that makes me feel about like that. Because he has the right and I have none. We have no rights. When we surrender to God, we said, God, whatever your will is. Whatever your will is. That's what I want. Whatever your will is. Let me tell you, follow this up by saying this. The chapter 3 of Romans, the 8th verse says, and why should we not do evil that God may come, that good may come? As some slanderers charge us with teachings, such false teachings is condemned by them. What are we condemned by? For 50 years, I've been asking that we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I not say that to you, I said that to me. Because if we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it keeps us right in line. God is an awesome God. He loves us. He would do no harm to them. You know, what it says he withholdeth no good thing to them that it is due. Somebody ever asked you something and you had it within your means to give it and you withheld it and actually you didn't say it, but your attitude was, I'm not going to give that to them. Whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. We don't have to wander around saying, when will this happen? Over the years, I've seen so many different people. I've heard so many different words. I've seen miracles. Pat, you're a miracle today. For this sickness is not unto death, but it's unto life. I said that to you. The Lord said it to you. Lord said it to Treva. He said it to Jeanette. And if you'll hear his voice, he's saying it to you right now. The things that trouble you, lay it aside. The things that hold you back, let go of them. There's a race that you're going to be in. It was kind of funny. He talked about these two young men over here collecting the offering. In God's sight, you're as young as you ever were. In his eyes and in his vision, it says, let them that are weak say they are weak, that he might become our strength. I want to say something that I asked my son. This might be hard for you to take. That ain't what I said to him. But I thought, God, you put me on earth to be Joshua Scott Morgan's dad. So I asked the hard questions. I looked right at him. I'm about 2 feet from his face. And I said, why are you alive? He looked at me. And I said it how I was supposed to say it. Why am I alive? And then he got it. He got it. He goes, we are alive that we might glorify God. And I'd say that's the main reason we're alive. And when that gets in here where it becomes home within us, when we see somebody that has a need and they're our neighbor. My brother Chuck and me were talking one day. He said, I can say this. He said, I'm having trouble with the commandments. I said, really? He goes, yeah. I said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Which one of those are you having trouble with? He said, well, I'm not having trouble with those. But I said, but in those two lie all the others. Hello. God's wanting to do a work in us that we can't do for ourselves. He's wanting to take us, lead us by his hand, if we'll trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." I'm trying to think how many jobs I've had over the years. I think only five. And every one I went to, I quoted that, and every one I left, I quoted that. God's in control. And the sooner we confess that, I believe the sooner he'll show himself that. The Bible says to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't want to do that. They think everything's all right. Everybody believes that everything's all right. Raise your hand. It's only all right when you see it in God's hands. And we have to see it finished in his hands. When he hung on Calvary, he said it was finished. I believe that. 50 years ago, when Sonny Cuesta was at camp and he preached the cross, every time he did this, I felt like I was the nail going in his hands. Every time. You know, when confession, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men, he'll confess you before the Father. Is that right? But it also says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Right? Well, God does something all the time when he's on the throne. And what he does, he keeps us in the palm of his hand. Because I know you heard me say this, in the palm of his hand is his plan. Nothing short. We need to get comfortable in the palm of God's hand. Not take it for granted, but we just think, thank you, Jesus. It's already been 3 years ago when I was in a little head-on collision. I ran a four-way stop sign doing 45 miles an hour and hit a guy head-on. I broke my wrist, broke my ribs, got a busted head. He got a bruised head and a bruised leg. I climbed out of the car because I thought it was on fire. I only went about 10 feet. And the state trooper was behind me. I'm going to tell you word for word exactly what to say. Where the hell is this guy? Because he couldn't see me. But years before that, I was in a car that was on fire, and I got out of it. And I had told myself, I will not die in a car it's on fire if I can move out of it. So that's what I did. But I told you all that to tell you this. While I was laying there, I didn't have my eyes open. Some lady came up and touched me right here. She said, "You'll be okay. It's all right." She said, "The ambulance is on the way." Well, who did I tell that story to besides you? I told it to the state trooper. And that state trooper said to me, "Hey, I was the third car behind you. There wasn't no lady that got out and come to you." I believe there was. See, you can hear, you can pick and choose what you want to hear. You can even pick and choose who you want to forgive, but I would advise against that. Years ago, I'm telling you different stories. Years ago, one of our aunts was getting ready to graduate, and she had called me and told me to bring my brother down to the hospital. And when her oldest came in, she looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" And her mother told her, she said, "You be quiet. They're here because I've asked them to come." Because my brother all the way down was saying, What are we doing going down there? I said, "We've been asked to come." See, I believe that God works for people to ask questions or asked you to do something. So we're down there, and all by the time the whole family come in, she started telling them, she said, every one of you were raised to love one another and forgive one another. And she said, and them two are here because they're going to hear this. With my last breath, I tell you to love one another and forgive one another. And she passed just like that. No struggle. Just. Then I looked at my brother. I said, we can leave because now I know why I was here. Because, see, I knew I was going to speak at that graduation. And as I prepared that, the Lord was telling me, I want you to take this one's name, write this on it, write their name, write the date, and have Debbie sign it. This one's name, write the date on it, same thing, have her sign it, to three different children that she had. And I preached the gospel that day about forgiveness. I said, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. But if you forgive not, you won't be. A lot of people love that first part, but they deny that last part. They want to deny that, deny that, deny that. Well, Brother Eddie always used to say that the Holy Spirit wants to give us a balance of truth. And this word gives you a balance. So, after the service was over, who came up to me and challenged what I said? The three individuals that those notes were wrote to. I said, here's your copy, here's your copy, here's your copy. God loves you to know that he puts an end to discussion. He's an on-time God. He's the one that says, calling those things that aren't as though they are. He's the one that, when Marge said this morning, how you doing? I said, oh, okay. She said, that's not Clyde. I mean, no, I'm really pumped up. But you can't see it. But I'm not pumped up no more in me. I'm pumped up in the Holy Spirit. I'm pumped up in that life that goes on and on and on. And calling those things that aren't. I'll close with this. The night our mother graduated, Pat, Mr. Spears come across. He was the neighbor across the street. He said, how's your mom doing? She had just passed away. I said, she's doing great. And so he went back over to tell his wife that Mrs. Morgan's doing great. Well, in the meantime, here comes the, Cincinnati police, and they didn't have a big van, Suburban, and they carry her out and put her in it. Immediately, he's at the front door. He said, hey, Clyde. I go, yeah. He said, I thought you told me your mother was doing great. I said, she is, see, because no harm can come to her no more. For whosoever believeth in me, though they be dead, yet they're alive. So I believe that. Now, there's some of you sitting out there haven't crossed that yet. But guess what? You're going to come to that. You're going to believe that. You're going to choose to believe it. And you're going to celebrate by believing it. Because God does all things well. He honors his word above his name. My wife will be 65 tomorrow. And I ask God, and I ask the body to pray that God returns her joy to her. I didn't practice this, but I'm going to do it. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to ask that you all stand, please. Father, we know that we can't change ourselves or anyone else. But Father, you bring about change. And the change that you bring about is the change that remains. Help every one of us to leave everything at your feet. That, Father, you might be a strength and we might be an encouragement to each other, to one another, to our neighbors, to our friends. And, Father, for even those people that we haven't met yet that you're bringing our way. Be glorified. Be magnified. Be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Have a good dinner.